Oh God, we're recording already? Good Lord.
It's fine.
I regret talking about this.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ladies Night on the Bruise Day Tuesday podcast. Tyler is allegedly in Florida. We'll see, hurricane. but I'm taking over the show, by which I mean Sam did all of the work and then put me in charge. Today we have Holly and Lars Gern, which I'm very excited about. Sorry in advance, this is going to be a little different than our normal content. It's going to be more lady talk and sidebars, I think, probably.
I'm waiting for an appropriate time to woo, but it never came.
How are you all doing? Should we introduce our beers? No. How are you doing first?
I love the lady priorities. Well, I just got to watch Inside Out 2 for the first time this afternoon with... And man, the character of anxiety.
I've heard good things. I am also just going to say Sam's going to beep that name, but just be aware of it.
That's fair. That's
probably fair. Every time you say real human names, Sam will have to do more work. So
that's
do with
fair.
That what
Sorry.
You would.
I will only use first letters of names.
Good.
So did you relate to anxiety or
no?
Did she?
So T like had told me when she first saw it months ago that she was scared of anxiety. And I was like, oh, like what is possibly scary about the character of anxiety? Very manipulative and like controlling in a very insane way. And I was like, whew, that is sinister. So yes, it definitely has me like thinking about anxiety in a little more nuanced of a way now, where I'm just like,
that
might
sinister.
Be a little evil. So that's how I'm doing today.
I mean, it seems like a good excuse to get a little tipsy. Do you want to tell us what you're getting tipsy on tonight?
Oh, man. I chose the collab between Youngblood Beer Co. and Lakefront Brewery called Lighten Up, Man. It's the 90s. It is a red lager dry hopped with Cascade, Chinook, and Centennial at 6.2 ABV.
Exciting. Do you have any initial thoughts on it?
Oh, I haven't opened it. So. I mean,
that's fair. This is how the podcast works, if I remember right. I'm supposed to ask what you think of the beer.
I feel like a lush for drinking mine as we were getting set up.
No, you're good. I never finish mine before the end of the show. Don't tell Tyler. He knows. He knows. I'm not supposed to rate. I do anyway. You just got to get a head start sometimes.
Very hoppy, which I usually don't like. You know, I'll be honest, Emily, I just got this one because of the name, so.
I mean, that's how I pick most of my beers.
But it is
not
red.
Not the one I'm picking tonight, but any of them, yes. I'm a sucker for good can art. I'm a sucker for a good beer name.
Oh, yeah.
Hard same. Or a Belgian.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll drink
yes.
that.
All Belgians.
Well, I'm glad that you enjoy your beer name. I'm sorry that you don't enjoy your beer flavor. We'll see how things go as the show progresses.
I think the color is good too, so
it is very, it looks like a very good beer from like I'm taking a picture with my drink perspective. Holly, what do you have?
Oh, you're gonna love this. So I'm drinking Can I Pet Your Dog from Ope Brewing Company out of St. Louis, Wisconsin. It's an amber lager and it's 5.2%. And it poured like shockingly dark.
Ooh.
I was like surprised it was so dark. It's very clear. And I've been sipping on it as we were getting Liz on. I like it a lot more than I thought I would. I looked at the color and was like a little scared. And I was like, I can get behind. Can I pet your dog?
Yeah.
I think Another classic example.
I think Sam had something from Oak Brewing last week.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Hollywood's for name and beer experience.
Yeah.
Can art. 1 out of 10. Name, mm-hmm. 10 out of 10.
Yes.
Love it.
Cool. So I am drinking Southern Tier Caramel Pumpkin. Pumpkin is like
one of season.
Beers in general. And the caramel version, I can tell one sip in, is also a delight. It's 8.6% ABV.
Whoa.
And yeah, it is like pumpkin, but a little sweeter. So... maybe that'll get to be too much, but at the moment, very excited. Cool. Now we've gotten the boring beer stuff out of the way. Kind of. We have to do more beer stuff. Do we want to talk about an article, or do we want to talk about our lives?
Lives.
All right.
Priorities.
I got nothing. I do nothing these days. Who's got exciting things happening? Liz, what are you up to?
Oh man, I am trying
to, which,
yeah, I am planting a new privacy sort of hedge around like 80 feet of my yard. So I have like a giant mountain of mulch in my driveway that I have to get in. So yeah, that's it. Now that I say it out loud, like yard work is what I'm talking about.
I mean, that's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it is, in terms of like, it is measurable and it will be beautiful and black.
Is it intended to get Hank to stop barking at everything?
Hank is very territorial of our yard, and it kind of sucks because he now that they have a two-way road there, there's a retaining wall, and Hank, like, it's right at people's head level. And so he will charge the fence with his really big, deep bark and just scare the crap out of people. So it's not very like neighborly, and we do want him to stop doing that. So we are trying to put like a visual blocker there for him.
He's a very sweet boy, and
he is a sweet boy, but he takes his job of protecting our domain extremely seriously.
I feel like if you saw Hank, you'd be scared too. You're like, that dog's bigger than I am.
Especially when he like gets in like stalking protector mode. When you look at him like just in happy mode, he looks like his doggy daycare people put it, he looks like the front of a Christmas card. But he is pretty terrifying when you are anywhere close to our property.
I didn't realize until I moved to Verona, Wisconsin, how many people still in 2024 just leave their dogs outside all the time, like all day, every day, and just let them bark.
Phil is like, has never owned a dog before, but he is very against that. So we have a little training collar for Hank where we will like put our Google Home on so we can listen to the camera, and then we'll give him a little beep when he barks. But he, he would be just menacing all of our neighbors if we like did not control the barking.
I mean,
he did, in other news, catch a squirrel the other day. Oh, and no. He did not harm the squirrel. The squirrel is very much alive. But I was like, oh my gosh, Phil, come, like, come quickly. He like got something. And I was so worried. I beeped him. He like immediately like came away from it. And then I see this very wet squirrel just scamper up the tree completely unharmed. He's just licking it.
That's adorable and terrifying.
And he has done that to like every small animal like that he finds. He has licked and released 3 baby bunnies this year, 1 squirrel, a mouse he did kill because it was just too small.
He didn't see a chance on that one.
Yeah, and he did bite a bee and kill that too, so he's trying though.
Yeah,
we're having a very different pet experience.
Yeah, I'm sure Pooper is probably not going to catch and release.
He has killed 2 baby bunnies and has not yet caught a squirrel.
Oh man. Yeah,
but I don't think it'd make it out alive.
I think Rupert is a better hunting breed. And Hank's just like, you're little, but I like the way you move and I'd like to play with you if you'll let me.
You're a funny shaped tennis ball.
So fuzzy.
Yeah, man, that poor squirrel.
Yeah, I'm very glad my dogs are too dumb to catch anything.
Yeah. I feel like Citra could, but I feel like her anxiety really holds her back.
Yeah, she just doesn't understand how things work.
Oh, somebody is maybe walking past our house. Maybe nothing at all is happening.
Yeah. Doggies, calm down. It's okay.
Yeah, he's just always on constant high alert.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully the privacy hedge helps. And
I'm hopeful.
If I had to figure out which of my friends I thought was most capable of growing a large hedge, it would be you. I don't know what that says about our friendship or the people I know.
But. Well, I do also want it to be beautiful, so it will be a mostly flowering semi-evergreen hedge, and I will have tons of bulbs, so we'll have to revisit this conversation in like May so that I can show pictures of all of my bulbs.
Yes, 10 out of 10.
Perfect. We will do meet back here.
No notes. All right, I guess we should talk about that thing. What do we have? We're going to talk about this one. I find it interesting. But also, I'm just going to resend the articles because I should have just done them one at a time. So this is from TheGuardian.com, reputable news source, TheGuardian.com. Arguments in favor of keeping a pint-sized beer. This one requires context that neither of you have, and I only have because Sam told me about it. Apparently, like, last week, 2 weeks ago, at some point, Sam and Tyler reported on an article of someone complaining that a standard British pint is too big and should be smaller. So this is just a rebuttal of, nah, it's good. I haven't read the article, neither of you. I'm going to give you a second.
This is so British.
So while Liz is out there tending her garden and making her neighborhood a safer place for pedestrians, I've been a lady of leisure. We just got back from like a 2-week vacation in Scotland and England. And their beer is so weak and not good that like the fact that they're presumably this is like, is this in the UK or is this here?
Yeah, this is in the UK. Also,
oh my gosh.
Australia chiming in.
We went on like multiple tours. Like we went on a historic pub tour in London, which was really cool. But we got half pints everywhere. And like, great. Like you don't need to like add more complexity to that. Like if you're trying to like scale it down, they already have a solution for that. Mm-hmm. And if you get a full pint, all the beers are like 4%.
Did you sample the classic cask ales, Holly?
I don't know.
Like the tepid, warm, like classic British beer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was horrible. I was telling Zach, I was like, it didn't even have the decency to be cold.
Yes, you, my friend, have experienced the classic British cask ale.
It was horrible. We switched to cider.
It is loved and hated.
Yeah, I feel like when I was in Ireland, all of the weird things that I noticed about drinking culture were just like, your beer's not very strong, but also I've never drunk before, so I'm fine with that. But why do you just mix things? Why is cider such a big thing? And why do you mix it with everything?
Mm. Yeah.
And then pretend that it's going to get you real drunk because it's 5%.
I feel like it's a lot more about the social aspect and a lot, because I also have noticed that the NA spirit culture caught on over there like 10 years before it caught on here. And so a lot of it truly is more about like, this is how we connect with people. And it is less about getting schwasty.
It's interesting you say that though. They were like, when we were on the pub tour, they were saying that like pubs are closing at like an alarming rate.
Yeah.
So like, I wonder if that's like media and the internet and like people not going out as much.
I wonder for the UK specifically, if some of it has to do with like generational stuff, but also like pubs being more of a old man, like conservative politics sort of location that does not quite vibe with the young folks.
I mean, it could also just be cost of living at this
point.
That's true.
That's
true.
That's true.
Booze was really expensive, but also I've not been to the actual UK. That's not true. I've been to Scotland, which is in the UK, I think.
Much to their chagrin.
Begrudgingly.
I never get to go there on sabbatical. I was not there for like 72 hours one time 10 years ago. But I spent a couple months in Ireland and everyone was like, yeah, it's really expensive to drink over here, but at least it's not London where everything's twice as expensive. So I do wonder how much of it is just people drinking at home because they can't afford a $9 pint of beer.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Probably the people who are paying that much are getting high-end cocktails in London.
Yeah.
And not tepid cask ale.
The other parts of England is a big, small country.
It is.
But yeah, it feels like all of the arguments in this article are just like, but it's always been this way, which is the best reason to keep doing anything. But also, I just don't understand why... You'd have to get so much new glassware if you change pint sizes.
Yeah.
Or do that weird thing where you just don't fill it all the way and then people are going to complain because it's not even.
I like this one where they're complaining about shrinkflation. It's a diminishing pint strategy where you pay the same price, but you get a smaller amount.
Yeah. I mean, that is probably a valid complaint. I don't know. I feel like you got your pint glasses, just fill them to the top. Or be like Belgium and have like a weird little knife thing that you use to scrape the top so that you get the exact right amount of, there's like a line, there's a fill line, and then there's room for the head, and it was delightful. I loved scrape that foam every time.
Everyone should take note and have beer more like Belgium.
Also, then you can't spill it as easily. They don't like hand it to you and you're like, I have to carry this like I am 6 years old to my table or I will spill.
I feel like Belgium also is distinctly different in that some of their beers are just like 12% and don't taste it and you can have one total.
Yep. You don't always know until you get it. You're like, oh, I've made a mistake.
On you
get like two-thirds away and you're like, I'm drunk.
Sam and I went on a beer tour where by the end of it, we were already drunk. And then we just sat at the last bar with like two other couples that were old people. They were like 30 years older than us, like retired people. And we just spent another hour chatting with them and buying more expensive beers. And then we went home and I laid on the bed and made Sam go to McDonald's for me.
Yeah, I think those Trappist monks like were aiming for Shwasty.
Which they knew what they were doing.
They did it well.
They were just drinking and getting everyone else drunk in the process.
The best beer we had when we were in the UK was when we were in York and we went to this really cool like medieval like it had like a beer store on the bottom level and then like a pub on the top level. And it was called the House of Trembling Madness. And they sold Belgian beers. So we got Delirium Tremens. And I was like, this is legitimately the best beer we've had all trip. And it's not local.
Was the Cascade beer you had, or was there a different bottom tier?
So I actually don't know like how much of the beer was like traditional cask ale. I legitimately can't think of a single like British brewed beer that we had that we were like, oh, that's good. Like we went into this like hole in the wall, like not like overrun with tourists pub in Edinburgh. And like, do you want this IPA? It was voted like best of Scotland. And like, I thought it was fine. It did not taste hoppy. It did not taste like an like what you get here for an IPA. Zach, literally afterwards, like all he could do was complain about how gross it was. He was like, it was like drinking wet newspaper. Like, I can't believe that one best IPA in Scotland, like the entire country. Like, they don't know what they're doing. And he did his traditional like Zach rant about it. But we tried like a variety, I would say, of like different beers and did not like any of them.
Oh no.
It was like really dark times. Yeah.
That's pretty upsetting.
Their cider was like a lot better than ours though. Yeah. Like, it was actually kind of fun to like try all the different ciders at a certain point.
I think Scotland is known for cider.
I feel like England is too. Yeah. Like, yeah. Scotland and England both had really good ciders. Yeah.
And then gin, if you're like in the Highlands, that's their drink. And then if you're in the islands, it's scotch. So, yeah.
I did once go to a bar in Edinburgh, and the person I was with ordered Jameson, and I was like, could you not though?
You're embarrassing.
And yourself. Scotch is worse than Irish whiskey, but could you not be embarrassing for once?
Hilarious.
Any other highlights from your trip?
Oh my god, we had such a good trip.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I got to tell you our itinerary, but we did Edinburgh, York, Bath, and London. And I was like a little worried. I was like dragging Zach to Bath.
Bath
and
is great.
He ended up like loving it. Yeah. Like, Zach loved Bath. I would say like big highlights. We went to the Jorvik Viking Museum in York. And I don't know if you've been, but they literally did excavations and they found all these Viking remains. And they were like, great, we're going to turn it into this like, we're going to like actually like make it like a ride. And you go through this like fake, like they made like a Viking village. They like tried to reproduce it based on the remains that they found. So they have these like Epcot-esque like animatronics. And you're like, you go into this like pod that like hangs from the ceiling and it like slowly takes you through this like stinky, like old Viking thing that's like underground. It's like below street level. And they tried to base the animatronics on the archaeological remains. So there's this woman with like a cane and like a janked up leg and like she's like having trouble crossing the street. And then like you go to the museum portion and you see this skeleton with like an atrophied like femur and you're like, oh yeah, it is janked up. But the highlights for us, and we're still talking about this, they found like an old like latrine. And so they built an animatronic of a man like straining to go to the bathroom. And literally, like, you could, like, see it when you started. He's just, like, sitting there, like, rocking backward and forward in this, like, hatched-in, like, bathroom. And they're explaining how they used to use, like, moss. And then you, like, get off this, like, Epcot-esque ride that stinks again. It's, like, supposed to be a Viking town. And their claim to fame is, like, the largest coprolite that's ever been found, which is just, like, a fossil of fecal matter. And it's, like, a Viking poo. And that's, like, their claim to fame at the Viking Museum. And it was so kitschy and so fun. And I feel like everyone enjoyed it. And then we went to the pub afterwards and got a pint of cider.
Zach loves kitschy museums.
He loves it. Like,
I remember first sabbatical when we had met up in Zagreb. We went to a museum that was, I can't remember the name, but it was like basically all of these people who had these like broken relationships, like sent in their stuff that like reminded them of the like people they'd broken up with. And they just had it in this museum. And then you got to read like about all of these like loves lost and like terribly like awful relationships while looking at all this stuff.
Zach loved it. I can see that. He would love that.
It's like the Museum of Broken Dreams or something.
um, less gross and poop-based, we went to a spa and bath. It had this like ginormous copper tub that we soaked in. Fine. And then we got massages and I got like a little foot treatment and Zach got a facial and we just felt very fancy in bath. So that was the other highlight. And then I think last is we like kind of spontaneously went to see Phantom of the Opera in London.
Very fun.
I had never seen it. And it was like so high budget.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was like a little kid. Like they had like sparks and pyrotechnics. Pyrotechnics.
Yes.
Okay, there we go. I'm with you. And like there was a scene where like the guy like jumped off of something into a lake and he just like went below stage and everyone gasped. It was just like so good. And I feel like traveling in your 30s is so much better than traveling in your 20s. Cause we literally walked by and we were like, Phantom of the Opera. And then we were like actually able to buy tickets and go. I was like, that's cool. But yeah, those were the highlights. It was honestly like 2 weeks of like nothing bad happening.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. I feel very spoiled. I have a 1 week back at work under my belt though. So I'm trying to hold on to that like vacation feeling.
Mm.
I get that. I have been back at work for like 3 weeks and I'm like, do I have to think though? Think thoughts with my brain? Yes, I do.
How was the first week back? Was it like,
I mean, it was fine. I'm working part-time, so I'm only in 3 days a week right now. But which is always the best and worst because people don't know how much work they can give you. And in my experience, it's too little, though you don't tell them. But everyone just keeps like, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm fine. I'm tired, but I'm fine. I don't want to be here, but I don't really have a choice. Because daycare is expensive, yo.
I thought you liked working too, like even if it's part-time.
Yeah, I do like working. If I could work part-time forever, I feel like I probably would, but also we have to pay for daycare full-time, so it's not really an option, even if Epic would let me. But yeah, like it's very nice having adult human interaction.
Are you short-term part-time, Beth?
Yeah.
Like temporarily?
2 days until the end of October, and then 4 days for November, and then I'm back full-time. They let you do it for 12 weeks, but if you don't go back more than 30 hours a week by the end of the second month after you're back, you lose your health insurance. And I need my health insurance. It's not you. You have to pay more for it or something. I don't know. Your benefits I was less like, if you don't go back full time.
Would you be covered under Sam now?
Sam could carry our insurance. It's under my name. It would kind of be a hassle to be like, I lost my insurance.
Yeah, you have to send
Sam for the same insurance and then... So.
That makes more sense, yeah.
Like, we would have the same insurance.
Zach was telling me that it was, like, not, like, inappropriate or anything, but he said something, like, spicy during a meeting, and I was like, oh my gosh, did I rub off on you when we were traveling together nonstop for 2 weeks? And then I was like, but also don't get fired because I'm on your insurance.
It's
not that he would ever do that, but
it's very good insurance. But also Zach is good at his job, so
he's like freakishly diplomatic too. I'm like,
yeah, knowing him not in a work context, you would not think that.
It's wild.
He saves it all for work.
Yeah, you gotta know when to rein it in, I guess. Meanwhile, I tell him, like, stories, and he's like, oh, I wish I could talk to people like that.
Yeah, no, I think I took too many pages out of the Holly Gill, I'm out of here, but it's just like, we're burning it down, Holly's gone.
Bye!
you took away the only person that I liked.
Aww.
Well, no, I mean... Everyone else became a manager.
Everyone.
So the only peer that I had.
I feel like you had more peers when I was still there.
Yes. Yeah.
And then they slowly, like,
they all became managers, left and went to a different team, or just left. So yeah, it was like me and the 2-year tenure Gen Zers.
All the babes. All the babes.
Sorry to leave you.
Do work. Yeah.
Everyone wearing their monochromatic, like, bike short based outfits with their chunky tennis shoes.
So, Emily, have you been wearing your crop tops to work?
I own zero crop tops. I judge hard. If I can see your stomach at work, I'm judging you. Spoilers.
You're showing your millennial.
Or any amount of butt cheek at work, yep, is also inappropriate, in my opinion.
It's uncomfortable. People wearing bandeaus as just full shirts. Like, no, you're covering so little of your top half. I don't care that you're wearing high-waisted pants. Incorrect.
What if it's a bandeau with high-waisted sweatpants? Because I feel like I saw a lot of that before I left.
Yeah, no, it still happens. Don't you worry. There's still just so many questionable fashion choices. I feel like they've had to start, like, previously, the, like, UGM, you have to dress reasonably, was, like, for developers, and now it's just for, like, the new implementers. Everyone. Like, you have to cover yourself.
Are there more, like, diagrams of, like, do this, not that?
There aren't, but I feel like it's implied. I feel like they've just pushed a lot of this to TLs and be like, you have to explain to your team members that they are not allowed to wear this.
That the purpose of business formal is not to, like, attract a, like, 60-year-old man.
Please do not date your analyst. Please, please. I live across the country. Please do not hook up with your analyst. I think the weirdest experience I've ever had at Epic was, this is probably 2018, 2019. I was sitting in Epicenter for exec address because I was not chosen to be in Deep Space, which is good. I don't want to be in Deep Space. But I was sitting in Epicenter, eavesdropping on the conversation of the very young new hires behind me. And they were just talking about how their friend had gone out to the bars the night before, and they were pretty sure she got roofied. Just, like, very nonchalantly. Oh, like, she went to the hospital, she didn't remember anything, they tested her, like, they're pretty sure she got roofied, but they don't know where or when or what happened. And I was just like, you're just talking about this like it was, you went out to lunch, or, like,
welcome to implementation.
Just like, this is an extremely bizarre conversation to just be nonchalantly having at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday morning.
That's wild.
And I still vividly remember that conversation, being like, what is happening? Why are they here today? Are they at work? Did they get roofied and go to work?
Yeah, weirdly enough, I think the more hours you get to after 60 each week, and the less you live in your own apartment, the more blurry the lines get between work and everything else.
I think that's actually really fair.
Yeah, it's just like, oh yeah, no, totally. And also when you're doing that, there's also an amount that you, like, don't care about yourself, to where that type of conversation about, like, a horrific abuse of a coworker is like, oh, just another day.
These things happen.
Yeah, it sucks to suck, I guess.
What happened to you, I think.
Yeah, no, there is, like, so much poison that must be swallowed in order to end up where you observed.
Anyway, depressing news. We can do these articles together, I think. We can talk a little bit about them. So, yeah, Sam very kindly pulled us articles about how it's hard to both brew beer and make wine because of climate change, which I don't think is surprising to anyone. It is depressing.
Makes sense.
Yeah, just, you know, it's hard to grow stuff when the climate is a mess.
It is nice seeing articles that say climate change is real.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got from APnews.com, brewing beer, a cold beer on a warming planet is hard. Germany uses education to fight climate change. And then from Yahoo Finance, climate change and harsh weather in France bring challenges to, you know, I've never seen this one. I've never heard this one pronounced. Chablis?
That's my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chablis.
Okay. Wine country. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like both of these are just kind of like, climate change is very bad, but here's how we're trying to combat it, which probably is going to something rising beer and wine prices. But also science is really cool. So it's nice that like they can grow these hops in a weird warehouse and then try to have, you know, more structurally sound hops. That's not the word. There's a word and it's gone. Baby stole my brain. All of it.
Do you mean like consistency? Like they have more of a consistency in taste and flavor and
it's gonna come to me and I'm going to wake up at 2 a.m. That's the word and it's not,
just not right and now. That's called anxiety. I learned today.
Yep. That's the one.
I feel kind of obtuse in that I feel like we all know climate change is real and we're seeing it play out with like natural disasters and the storms intensifying. I don't think I realized its impact on something like brewing beer. Mm-hmm. Like I feel really stupid admitting that, but like this makes perfect sense that it would obviously have like agricultural impacts, including something like making wine or making beer. And it's really cool hearing how people are trying to work around it.
Yeah, I mean.
And also, I feel like I take this for granted that I don't have to figure out logistics for climate change.
Well, you don't yet. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like even, like, I remember when I was in high school, which at that point, scientists knew that climate change was definitely real. I feel like even 15 years ago, I was still being taught in my classes, like, this is a theory. It may or may not be happening or our fault. That also might be that I went to private school. That might be a conservative school problem, I'm realizing. But yeah, it's very interesting to see the shift from, like, climate change might be a thing to like, it's definitely happening and we can maybe fix it kind of. But
I mean, even locally, like in Wisconsin, we're in a completely different growing zone now. Like on average, our temperatures are like, well, on average right now, like compared to last year or 4 years ago, it's like 20 degrees warmer here in Wisconsin right now, as compared to like when Phil and I got married during COVID.
That's really insane.
I want to believe that that's partly not just climate change.
It is mostly due to rising ocean temperatures.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not great.
But it's also kind of ironic when you look at like the 60 to 65% losses for wine exports. Like, I'm assuming that we're not exporting those on solar powered vehicles, and so it's like is it like nature kind of self-correcting a little bit. It's like we are producing no more until you fix this. I don't know, it seems kind of funny. It's like finding a way to grind things to a halt that are like the biggest causes of greenhouse gases.
I feel like it's my fault somehow that climate change is a thing, but also,
like, I don't think it's like personally your fault, Emily.
That is the wildest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Just one of those things where it's like, I should be doing more, even though I know that most of it's coming from corporations. And also I'm like in my early 30s and this has been a systemic problem for decades. Like, what was I supposed to do at age 17?
Yeah. Now, I do think probably careers like the one I and Holly were briefly in, where we were like just being flown everywhere all the time. If we cut down on like most consulting work that requires high travel, I think that could definitely like cut down on the total number of flights, which would probably have a pretty significant impact. But I don't think you, a person who does not travel for work on an airplane, is making a significant, probably the most significant thing any of us are doing is the amount of stuff that we throw away or donate that gets thrown away.
That is, I was like, oh, I should be doing more and not using plastic straws. But also, I am one person, and even 8 billion people using plastic straws is probably not as bad as like 10 people owning private jets. This got real depressing. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Well, as we know, Emily hates turtles.
I'm loving the vibe of Lady Bruce Day.
I don't hate turtles. I just like plastic straws sometimes. I don't like washing straws.
It's pretty gross. And paper straws do like disintegrate immediately, so
I'll use a paper
straw. Pretty good ones in England, actually.
Okay, all
they
right.
They were real sturdy. I was like, all right, they're cute. They're like red and white too.
Amazing.
And they are good, not plastic straws.
Maybe you just need to drink the beer through the straws so that you think it's better. That's not a thing. That's not how.
I can try it. Next trip, we can try it.
This just reminded me, because of drinking beer with straws, you two are the right age to be familiar with this. Do you guys remember the Christina Ricci movie Penelope about the girl with like the pig nose? Yes. And she's like wearing the scarf, and like one of her dreams is to go to the pub and like have a pint. And then she asks for a straw and they like all give her a weird look. And then she just like drinks it out of a straw. So you can. Penelope showed us that you can drink beer with a straw.
Man, I don't remember that.
Oh my goodness, Emily.
I did not watch a lot of movies. I still don't watch a lot of movies.
If you want a strongly Sigaros driven soundtrack, paired with like peak James McAvoy and like Christina Ricci and Catherine O'Hara, like you must watch Penelope. I think it's on Amazon Prime. Sorry, Sam.
You have to be plugging Amazon Prime. So, did you two, when you moved in with your partners, have like something that your partner was like, holy cow, you need to get rid of that? Like, why do you have that? Like, did either of you have that?
I don't think so.
We had a lot of duplicate things, so there were some things that I just had to say goodbye to.
Oh, so like most of the things. Duplicate stuff.
I think most of the things Sam wanted me to get rid of were emotional.
Yes. Oh. Ditto. Ditto.
Mine is a giant.
Would have been like one of the big ones.
Codependent with what?
No, just like, you know, like being nervous when you can tell someone's feeling something, but they're not talking to you about it. And you're like, my sense of security might be tied up in this a little bit.
You're mad in general. You're mad at me.
Yes, we had to have like Phil and I had to be like, OK, I can tell you're mad. And he's like, I am not mad at you. And I'd be like, OK, I'll leave it alone until we can talk. Yeah. Wow, this is getting a real tea.
I had a giant movie stub collection. Like, I went to the movies so much. Like, I had like Pocahontas, like in theater movie stubs. But like also like when I was in high school and middle school, like especially in high school when I had a car, we went to the movies like constantly. It was like an embarrassing number of movie stubs, and I used to have them taped up like all over my room, and I saved these, And so my parents were like, oh, thank God we can give these back to you. They're no longer our problem. So I got like stuff from my parents' house, and Zach saw these movie stubs and was like, you have to get rid of this.
Yeah, the problem there is that you're too organized, because I also was like, I have to hold on to movie stubs, but I just left them in purses, and every time I changed purses, like, probably there are dozens of them in my parents' house still, because they have not yet fully jettisoned all of the stuff that they want to give me. In my defense, they put boxes, and then they put other boxes on top of those boxes, and I'm not lifting boxes to take notebooks from high school that I should have thrown out 18 years ago.
Oh, my mom got rid of mine against my will.
They keep threatening to give them to me, but then we never have room in our car when we go visit. And I think if I don't see them, I'm okay with them getting thrown out. But as soon as I look through them, I'm like, but I don't need to know calculus, it turns out. Having notes from high school calculus is not going to help me. I should tear out like the back pages of them, because that's where I doodled. But also probably it's just like the names of the boys I liked.
Yeah.
High school Emily was not subtle.
No high schooler is subtle, Emily.
No, we don't know how to be subtle in high school. We have bigger emotional problems that we're coping with. Did you all do like the wild like folded notes?
Oh yeah, the little triangles. Like, you fold them into the paper footballs, and you sometimes you just pass the same note, the same 8.5 by 11 piece of paper back and forth for 2 weeks, and you're trying to remember who was who based on the convoluted nicknames you gave them.
Yeah. I asked Zach if he did this, and he was like, no. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, you're not that much younger than me. He's like, I have a penis, and we did not do that. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I guess I'm the only one with a gross movie stub collection.
But,
I think that's why I remember Penelope.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of stuff Sam probably wants me to get rid of that I am emotionally attached to. That's a problem. But also some of it is just like, how do I get rid of this ethically? And as a result, I don't. Because I can't just throw it in a trash can. But if I donate it, it's definitely just getting thrown in a trash can.
Is it clothing?
Some of it's clothing. Some of it's like, just like, I don't know what to do with this old kitchenware that I don't need these pint glasses. I have better pint glasses, but maybe I'll need these ones someday.
This is not related, but did you guys know that 10% of the US population has diagnosable hoarding disorder?
I totally believe that. I did not know that.
Yeah, but Emily, as you're like saying this, I'm just like, that is like not the emotional reason that like my mom keeps stuff. It's not because she's like worried about the ocean. It's because she's like, I might start this esoteric hobby that I'm not good at again at some point in the future, and I might need all of this crap that's ruining my life.
Yeah, there is some stuff that I'm like emotionally attached to for reasons that I don't like. I own too many water bottles because I think that they're going to make me a better person. And then I'm like, but I like it. But I have 9 other ones that I'm actively cycling through, so I don't need this one. But some of the stuff is just like, I don't know how to get rid of this. I could get rid of this, but I don't.
Batteries, man. Who even knows?
I take advantage of that frog.
You just throw them into the nearest body of water. Like,
I give them to Zach and I make him take them to work.
There's a YouTuber that I watch who has talked about like just a couple times in her adult life, just renting a dumpster for like a week
and just freeing
everything into a dumpster. And I'm like, that sounds so satisfying.
It's freeing. And dumpster rental is like $300 tops. And then it's crazy. Yeah. And also, if you end up being on the TV show Hoarders, that's what they do anyway.
I don't think I'm at like Hoarders.
No.
But I do have OCD. So that also.
OCD.
I can't get rid of anything.
It is very high. Yeah. My dad also has OCD, and it is very highly correlated to that. But watching that show like gives me anxiety, because you can tell it's like physically painful for them to like part with stuff.
Yeah.
And then they just like spiral. I think I need to watch it more so that I like do not succumb to what my parents have done.
Yeah, I say I don't have a problem, but I do have like a full bin of art that Prez Deep has brought home from daycare that I can't get rid of it. She's so proud of it. But man, there's a lot of pages of just scribbles.
Yeah. No, yeah, to keep... T gets mad at me every time I throw away something. She's like, there's coloring on that. I was like, we have 300 pages of stuff that has coloring on it. This has to go in the trash can now.
So that's really tough because, like, how do you manage, like, how they feel about you getting rid of it? You know what I mean?
Oh, you do?
Like, do you just hold on it until they forget and then you get rid of it?
Yep.
It's you hide it somewhere. With a seventh grader, and all honestly, probably with a smaller child as well, it's more about control for them. And so my thing is like, hey, like you can pick a couple, you can pick five things that you can keep, but we're not keeping everything and you won't remember this. And it's just weighing us down. Like we need to be able to move past this because you are like, your production is really surpassing like any space on a fridge or anywhere where we could keep this.
We have one more article. We've also been talking for like an hour, so we should probably not. It's lovely talking to you, but from a podcast perspective, we probably shouldn't talk.
Yeah, you don't want to go over the hour.
So we should rate our beers and then we can keep chatting if you want to keep hanging out. Who feels strongly about their beer and wants to go first?
Holly.
I would give this like a 7.2.
Wow.
I think I like this more than I was expecting to. Like, Zach brought Can I Pet Your Dog home? And I was like, I haven't had anything from Ope Brewing, and I don't know if I'm going to like it. And, you know, maybe it's the Sunday Scaries. Maybe it's trying to keep that vacation feeling alive. I liked this more than I thought I would.
I'm so...
Yeah, solid.
Is there anyone you would recommend it to?
Honestly, I would recommend it to, like, someone just doing some casual drinking in the fall. Like, it's just, like, a nice, solid fall beer. Like, 5.2%, you're not going to have, like, too crazy of a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. All right, Liz, what did you think of your beer?
Yeah, I think the more, anytime I drink something hoppy, I think the longer I drink it, the more I like it. So I think we're doing out of 10. I think this got probably a 6 out of 10. It is the collab between Youngblood and Lakefront called Lighten Up Man. It's the 90s. Yeah, it's good. I like the deep flavor of the red lager. The hops aren't my favorite, but I did become more accustomed to them, and I think it's a good like late summer beer, which is where we're at right now.
Yeah.
I would recommend it to like friend of the podcast, Alan. I think this is a real Alan beer.
Alan's not usually super into hoppy things, but also a red lager shouldn't be that hoppy.
It's not. I mean, I think I'm more sensitive to it than most people would be, but this whole vibe feels very like yacht rock to me.
Yes, that is how I would describe friend of the show Alan. Enemy of the show Alan.
Alan, oh, no.
I can't wait to tell Alan that we think he's yacht rock.
I have already.
Think Alan doesn't think he's yacht rock.
He is. Does Alan he was that? Born yacht rock.
I mean, now that you're saying, I can't unsee it, but.
We love you, Alan. You're great. You don't listen, and you shouldn't. and Southern Tier Caramel Pumpkin. My opinions on this beer did not change. I like this beer a lot. I like pumpkin a lot. I'm basic, it turns out. So I'm going to give this an 8.8. It's like pumpkin, but a little sweeter. And I haven't had a pumpkin yet this year, so I'm feeling incredibly nostalgic. I would recommend this to all my basic bitches out there.
Honestly, I think Phil would really like that beer.
Phil probably would like this beer. It's like if beer was candy.
I'm going to have to get that for Phil. What was that, Holly?
I said, is Phil a basic bitch?
I think when it comes to beer, yes.
I love this. Like,
if you want to wear a cozy sweater and drink a beer, drink this one, because it'll get you a little drunk, and also it tastes really good. Don't drink this beer if you don't like pumpkin beers, because it's a pumpkin beer. Thank you both for being on. It's been lovely chatting with you. Liz, I believe I'm supposed to be talking to you again next week. We're doing this again.
It's We're doing it.
That. Mary knows what she's doing. Mary's coming next week.
Yeah, she'll be fine. She'll take the reins.
She'll keep us on task much better than I did.
Her anxiety will, pair with your anxiety, and she'll just be like, I'm taking this over now.
But yeah, it's been so lovely talking to you. This, yeah. I think, is a terrible podcast, but I had so much fun.
It was fun.
So thank you all for listening. If you have thoughts on the ladies' night format, if you want to tell us how bad you think ladies' night was and that we should stay in the kitchen, don't. If you want to tell us glowing reviews of how great we all are, you can not tweet at us at Brews Day Tuesday anymore. You can comment on our links at brewstuesday.com. You can email us at brewstuesdaypodcast@gmail.com. That's the other one I'm supposed to say. I believe Tyler would say, don't let the bastards keep you down. And we'll see you next week. And the boys will see you in 2 weeks. Bye, everyone.
There it is.
Catch all your tears. Drink the remedy. Forget about your problems. Here comes a shot. Lose all your thoughts. Drink the remedy. Forget about your problems. This one's on me. Fix you for free. Drink the remedy, forget about everything. This one's on me, got what you need. And take your medicine, you feel better. Oh no, Sam came down from putting to bed and is just pouring himself some whiskey. Rough bedtime.